I wanted to look together with you again at the Lord's Prayer from His Sermon on the Mount. And last week we were considering His kingdom coming upon earth, but not in that literal sense, right? It would be nice if He'd come and establish His kingdom and we could enjoy the blessing of that. Right now we got to endure a little wickedness, well, a lot of wickedness in the earth, right? But yet His kingdom is still coming. It's coming within us. You know, that's the fulfillment, is when His kingdom becomes a reality in us. And that's the key. You know, for some people, Christianity is just kind of what happens on Sunday, and right, the rest of the week is whatever they want to do. Or, you know, maybe Christianity is just theological. They like the debate of it, or just getting into the, you know, that kind of thing, the intellectual aspect. Or, you know, sometimes it's just kind of like an eternal 401k, right? It's there for when we retire for eternity, but for now we can just do our thing and so forth. But, you know, that's not the kingdom of God being a reality in our hearts. Christ's purpose is that His kingdom comes within us, and it's like we're living for that. We're living in that. Even though we're in this life, we're not of it, because we have an eternal perspective, a kingdom perspective, as we can say. You know, His invitation to us, Christ's invitation to us, we can see, as Paul shared in Ephesians 2, I'll read verse 4 and then verse 6. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us." Then verse 6. "He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So He's raised us up to sit with Him, to sit together with Him, with God, in heavenly places. Now, there's already a sense that this is what Christ has done for us. He's given us that entrance into the Holy of Holies, to dwell in His presence, right? And He's made the way for us to be sons and daughters of Christ. So He's put us in that position. But there's also a sense that, you know, sometimes Scripture says He's done this, and not quite yet, He's doing it, right? And so sometimes we can say, well, hey, I'm in heavenly places with Christ. But yet we also have to think, am I there? Am I sitting there looking as He looks, thinking as He thinks, acting as He acts? Well, I think we realize that's our goal, right? That's where He wants to bring us to. And that's our cry. Lord, cause me to be seated with You in heavenly places. Because, you know, when you're sitting in heaven looking down, it sure is different than when you're down here in the weeds, right? Trying to figure things out, trying to figure out what way to go and so forth. But that's what He wants to do. He wants to make us to sit with Him and have the perspective and the view of heaven. Also, to begin to love what He loves and hate what He hates. You know, to see what He sees, to value what He values. And when that happens, His kingdom becomes established in us. Of course, it's with that one key ingredient we kind of touched on last week. Matthew 6 and verse 10. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." You know, Thy will be done. This is really the key to the kingdom, doing the will of God. You know, in heaven. And, you know, you think about what He's saying here. In heaven, everyone does the will of God, right? That makes sense. I don't think there's anyone in heaven not doing His will. Not that I can think of. Well, there were some, but they got kicked out. But on earth, in comparison, how many are doing the will of God? Very few. Sometimes you think about that. Lord, You created this earth, and you can probably, you know, I won't say count on one hand. He's got a big hand. But, you know, how many people are doing His will? So few. Very little of the will of God is done on earth. The world is full of people doing their own will. And with that comes great darkness. But yet, our responsibility, our opportunity as believers is to have his will done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know it's a battle, right? We saw that with Christ in the garden, right, of doing the will of God. But I was just kind of considering this, and in reality, when we do the will of God, it's as if we're bringing heaven down to earth. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, it's perfect. But when we do the will of God, however small, however insignificant in our lives, when we're doing the will of God, we're bringing heaven down to earth for all to see. And that's what God is asking of us. All right, do my will so I can cause heaven to be seen on earth. All right, and you think about people who are in darkness, how are they going to see and understand heaven and what it's about? Only as we do his will. Yes, as we speak, as we witness and so forth, but yet we realize that the witness is based on our life, right? If it's just saying the right words, that's not going to have the impact. That's not heaven on earth. It's the life. It's birthed out of, I've come to do your will. You know, we're part of a heavenly family. And, you know, in a sense, it's about being a Christian and identifying with Christ, right? But, you know, who is a part of the heavenly family? Jesus talks about this in Mark 3, when he was surrounded by people. Actually, he was so surrounded that no one could get to him. And someone told him, hey, your family's out there waiting. They want to talk to you. And so what does he say? Mark 3:33, verse through 35. And he answered, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around on them that sat there and said, behold, my mother, my brethren, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, my sister, my mother. Sometimes we think, well, if I, you know, do what good Christians are supposed to do, you know, read my Bible and all that and go to church and stuff, that gets me in the family of God, right? Well, those are the things that the family of God does, yes. But what really brings us down to who is in the family of God? It's those who do his will in their lives. You know, we can experience difficulties in our families. Some have had, you know, difficult experiences with, you know, because of family members, parents, or different things. But, you know, God has invited us to be a part of his family. Thank God for that. Who are those who have that family relationship with him? It's those who do his will. Now, we'd like to say this happens overnight when we profess Christ as our Savior, we believe in our heart, profess with our mouth, and then we are saved, as Paul says in Romans, but we realize there's a battle to do the will of God. But God wants to transform us. Romans 12 and verse 2. You know, I've always thought about this aspect of transformation, Paul says in Romans, but what's the end goal? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what it's all about. Why do we want to become different? Why do we want to change? Why do we want to transform? It's all so that we can do the will of God. That's what it's all about in the Christian life. You know, you can boil the Christian life down to doing the will of God. And sometimes we can look at our heart and our life and we recognize sometimes we gravitate towards things that are not the will of God. And he could get discouraged, you know. I'm not sure if I can do the will of God. I don't know if it's even possible. Isn't that just for those supermen and women of faith? But God wants to bring a transformation. He wants to bring a renewal in our minds, in our hearts, in our desires, in our reactions, in our outbursts, in the ugliness that sometimes comes out within us. Right? And we all know, we all can kind of identify that part in us, that ugly part that wants to come out. God wants to transform us. He wants to give us a makeover in a good sense. He's so gracious. You know, he comes and he knocks on the door of our heart and he says, can I come in? Can I give you a makeover? You know, I think it was a few years ago, but it was like the big trend for the home makeover shows. I think that's kind of gone on to different things, but you know, people would win something or get a surprise home makeover in 24 hours or 36 hours or something. But you know, God wants to come in. He's knocking on the door of our hearts and saying, can I give you a makeover? Can I bring a transformation? Now, it's not going to happen in 36 hours, unfortunately. Although he can do a lot of work in a short amount of time. But he's coming. He's coming to enable us and empower us to be those who do his will. I love what Jesus said in John 17, or 7 and verse 17. I'm going to read this from the ESV. He says, if anyone's will is to do God's will. Well, think about that for a minute. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he'll know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. Now, he's not saying if anyone does the will of God, he'll know. He'll know God and recognize God. He'll meet with God. It says, if anyone's will is to do his will. He's basically saying, if you're even just willing to do his will, right? Because there's a recognition, you know, I want to say, I'm going to do his will today, but you know you're kind of lying because it's like there's a struggle in my heart that keeps me from doing that, and so I'm hesitant to declare that. And so Jesus just says, if you're even willing, if you just acknowledge a willingness, Lord, I'm willing for you to come in and change me. I'm willing to be made willing to do your will. You know, God says, I'll cause you to know. I'll meet with you. I'll give you that revelation, that meeting that you need. And so sometimes that's the most powerful prayer. Lord, I know that I need to do your will in this area, but I'm having trouble. But I'm willing for you to come in and change me, so that I can follow you, so that I can be a true son or daughter who does your will. And that prayer can change our lives. It can change our eternity, because it leads us into that pathway of being those who only do his will. 1 John 2 and verse 17, the world is going to pass away, and all the lusts and all the evil things in this world, they're all going to pass away, but he that does the will of God is going to abide forever. And so God's eternal kingdom is coming to earth, but how is it going to come? It's through you and me as we seek to do his will, as we're transformed in our minds and in our hearts to do his will. His kingdom comes on earth. But then continuing on in his prayer, back in Matthew 6 and verse 11, he says, pray this, give us this day our daily bread. Give me my daily bread. You know, we kind of have a realization too. I had never really kind of comprehended this till I started going through it, is that the rest of this prayer is really an extension of this first request. You know, the first thing he said we need to do, request of God, is your kingdom come. Your kingdom, let it come into my life. And the rest of this prayer is just showing us how his kingdom comes, how it's established in us. And so the next thing he says is, pray for daily bread. Pray that you can eat of the bread of the kingdom of God. And so if we want his kingdom within us and we want to be established, we want heaven to come down to earth within our hearts, then we have to eat his daily bread. Now, we kind of have that picture. There's that allusion to Israel in the wilderness, right? I mean, only God could think about that. Have you thought about, like, if you were gonna make the decision, how am I gonna lead this group of people out of Egypt and into the promised land? What am I gonna do? Only God could say, well, I'm gonna cause bread to rain down from heaven and it'll form on the ground. They'll go get that every day. You know, I mean, sometimes I'm amazed at how the Lord, his imagination, you could say, right? I'm gonna have them eat manna. But he did that for a very specific purpose. maybe that was annoying for the Israelites. Oh, got to go get bread this morning. But he was speaking directly to our hearts in the church as a picture that every day, if we want to eat and we want to live, we have to come to him and say, Lord, would you feed me afresh today? Lord, can I eat afresh from your kingdom? That manna, from how it's described, I would love to taste some. It kind of seems like it tastes pretty good. I described like a wafer that tasted like honey. In Psalm 78, verse 25, it said, those people, those men, they ate angels' food. Right? And so they got some provisions that the angels eat. And they were full from them. But Israel, there was one thing that God required of them. They had to gather it every day. They couldn't keep it overnight, right? No refrigerators. But even if they had refrigerators, I don't think it would have lasted because it was divine, right? It would stink and, you know, have worms and so forth. And so they had to go every single day. And that's that picture for us, is that yesterday's, you know, meeting with God is not enough. Yesterday's time in the Word is not enough. Yesterday's time of hearing his voice is not enough. And so, Jesus said to Israel in the Psalms, today, if you'll hear my voice, today. You know, it's not too fun to go long without eating, right? Have you ever had to decide, you know, I'm gonna try skipping a meal, or I'm going to try that? That's not too fun. Your belly starts to grumble. It starts to, you know, ever tried to, you know, do a fast? Well, pastor says we need to fast for this situation. Do you hear that? Time to fast. It's not going to be fun. All right. Or if you're out doing something and you don't have time to eat and skip a meal, you know, there's some complaining going on in your body. There's a price to pay. It's not easy to go without, you know, and we know that, and none of us really go through that, right, in the natural. But in the spiritual, the problem is we don't feel the lack of it necessarily, do we? You know, you go without the Word of God, or you go without seeking his face, it just kind of goes on. Life goes on, and you don't feel the need. But in the spirit, you just get weaker and weaker and weaker. I think there was that kind of phrase, that play on words. You know, go 7 days without prayer makes one weak, right? But that's so true. You know, you could put in the scriptures and the Word of God there, but really, you know, it's not just about reading the Word, but it's about receiving life from him. You know, we can feed only on Sunday, but how many of us want to eat one day a week? Not too many. It wouldn't be very healthy either, would it? You'd have to eat like, you know, 20,000 calories or something in one day just to stay alive. But Christ confirmed this in Matthew 4, verses 3 and 4. You know, he was out in the desert and the tempter came to him. And he said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. But here's how we have to live. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Of course, he was quoting from the Old Testament. But he said that in the Old Testament. He's just repeating himself. Our life comes from every word that proceeds from his mouth. And that's why we have to spend time in his word. To hear his voice. It's our life. It's our health. Of course, his word has a powerful effect on us. Now, there's many ways that the word works in us, right? We know it works mightily, but there's different ways it does that. We know from Ephesians 5 that it washes us. Once in a while, we need a good shower, don't we? What happens when you try to say, I'm going to skip a shower today and see if that works, right? Well, it might be okay for you, but other people might object. Sometimes at camp, those teenage boys don't recognize the need for a good shower, and that gets a little hard. But I got to do cabin inspections. It gets a little smelly in there. But, you know, in the spirit, we're ignorant. Just like those young boys can be ignorant sometimes. I don't know how. I guess their nose aren't fully developed yet or something. But, you know, in the spirit, we can be ignorant of it, of how unclean we are. But what will take care of that is His Word. His Word washes us. It identifies the unclean aspects and washes us and cleanses us and as we respond to Him. In Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it, meaning His church, with the washing of the water by the Word. And so we can come to the Word and say, Lord, speak something fresh to me. Lord, I'm kind of struggling in this area. Would you speak to me in your Word? Wash away the wrong thinking from my mind. Change my mindset. You know, that's how we're transformed to the renewing of our minds, is as we come to His Word. Then there's a deeper effect. You know, we want to be washed, but yet, you know, Jesus in His ministry, you can kind of notice how the depth of His preaching increases and increases. You know, in John 3, He's talking about being born again into the kingdom and the, you know, being washed as little babies in Christ. But by John 6, He's progressed to something deeper, hasn't He? He's not just talking about, you know, being washed or cleansed. He's saying, you know, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And that was a pretty radical statement. You know, He didn't fully explain what He meant, and He did that on purpose. He wanted to see, are they going to receive? Are they really seeking me for my word and my truth? But we know He was speaking of allowing His word to be worked into our lives, right? Where we become the word. We become transformed by His word, having a change of our heart and our minds. Now, I remember this testimony I heard on the radio. This minister was just kind of testifying of how he, you know, was walking with the Lord, but he, you know, in the beginning of his walk, he had trouble with outbursts, right? He would just get kind of frustrated and angry and then say something he'd regret, and then he'd have to go to God and repent. And so he always tried to keep a really tight control, and he'd do really well until someone would say something and he'd slip up and, oh, he let loose and he had to repent and come to the Lord. And that kept happening until one day the Lord said to him, why don't you allow me to change you so that you don't have anything to control? Well, that was kind of a radical thought for him. It's like, wait, you mean I don't have to try and just control this thing? I can get rid of it? And the Lord said, yeah. Let's try that. You know, and he cried out to God, and God began to meet with him and deal with that issue in his heart that caused him to lash out. And you know, that's what the Word of God does in us, what He desires to do in us as we open our heart to Him. And, you know, He can take away the need to repress or cover up wrong tendencies or reactions or desires so that they're no longer there. And that's the effect of the Word of God and His kingdom coming into our lives, so that we're not just being washed by the Word, but we start to become the Word. Instead of getting upset at delay, we become patient. Where we used to react to someone, we become meek, and we can overlook those things. You know, John tells us that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And that's what starts to happen within us as we continually give ourselves, Lord, feed me today with your living word from heaven. And ultimately, as we continue to do that, we continue to walk with him and his kingdom increases and increases. You know, it brings us into that intimate relationship with Christ where we can dwell within the most holy place. And you know, I think it's interesting that the Lord commanded Moses to take that manna and put it into the ark. And so that manna was hidden within there. But, you know, the scripture alludes to the hidden manna. Revelation 2 and verse 17, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He's speaking to his people. He that overcomes, I'll give to eat of the hidden manna. The hidden manna. You know, You know, he has hidden things he wants to reveal his heart, that he wants to reveal to us as we seek him each day, as we dwell with him. You know, Paul said to the believers, there's things I went up into heaven and I saw, but I'm sorry, I cannot share them with you. They're hidden things until you've walked with God and you can understand and know his heart. But God wants to reveal those things to us. He wants to share his heart with his people. David understood this concept of dwelling in the presence of God. You know, we can ascend the holy hill, and then what so often we can descend too, right? But David said, Lord, I want to dwell. I want to dwell. I want to be there. Psalm 91 and verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place where there's secret manna, the hidden manna, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's our ultimate goal, to live and abide in his presence by feeding upon his word each day, by coming to the word. You know, it's a very practical thing because it starts off in a practical way, right? We open the book and we start reading. Without that, you know, sometimes we can spiritualize it and say, well, I'm meditating upon the word, but you know, it's a practical thing. If we don't open the book and read, then we can't get to the spiritual. And so we have to start off in that practical way, but then we open our spirit and say, Lord, speak to me. Cause me to feed upon a fresh word today. And as we do that, we make that our abode. You know, as we do that on earth, so it will be in eternity. And so Christ's invitation and his instruction to us is to make a kingdom, his kingdom, a reality in our lives and in our hearts by being transformed in our minds, by being transformed and renewed to become those who do his will. And we can pray that, Lord, make me willing. I'm willing, even to be willing, to do your will. It's like the Lord just needs that opening. You just need to crack the door open so that he can slip through. And it just starts with that simple prayer. Lord, I'm willing. Do what it takes. Come and do that work of transformation. And he is more than able and desiring to come in as we open to him and as we feed. Right? We let him in, but yet we gotta come day by day and hear his voice and feed upon his word. And as we do, we'll be those who have his kingdom formed in us because we're dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. And Father, we just thank you for your precious word and your promises to us and your invitation, Lord, for your kingdom to come on earth. And Lord, we cry out to you. May we be a people and a church, Lord, that allow your kingdom to be established on earth. Lord, let heaven come down to earth in our lives. Lord, we recognize that there's many areas where we're not lining up to heaven. Lord, and Lord, we need your work to come in and change us and transform us that we can fully do the will of God. So we invite you today. Lord, even if there's an area in us, would you speak? Lord, would you identify those areas, Lord, and enable us to be changed and transformed in our minds that we'll walk in a new way. Lord, if we're walking the wrong way, grant us repentance to turn around and walk the other way, that we would be transformed and renewed. Oh, do that work in us. Lord, teach us to be hungry and thirsty for your word and for the things of your spirit, that your kingdom would be established in us, we pray. And we thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.